Frances Anderton, host of DNA Design and Architecture, the show produced by KCRW that we are so proud of because it serves the design community unlike any other radio show. But we do need your help to make it possible, and we've made it very easy to do so. Donate $10 by texting KCRW to 20222. That's all it takes, and now we can start the show. Thank you. From KCRW.com, this is DNA. I'm Frances Anderton.
Could it be that he's in something related, such as design or architecture?
Design.
Architecture.
Design.
Architecture.
DNA. I'm an architect.
The designer called
him. DNA.
Oh, that's very cunning.
On today's show, the story of a parking structure that turns out to be a magnet for pedestrians. And later in the show, Ace Palm Springs and Ace New York have defined boutique hotels in the last decade. How will the designers make LA's new Ace equally seductive?
You know, it's like, how do you do something that feels like it's been here forever, when in fact it wasn't? And without being precious about it, because it really was about it feeling like it had been here forever, not necessarily looking like it had been here forever. So there's a difference to that.
That's Roman Alonso coming up. Now, though, just last month, Santa Monica opened a replacement parking structure, number 6, on 2nd Street between Broadway and Santa Monica Boulevard, adjacent to the 3rd Street Promenade. It's a regular structure on the inside, though it has plenty more spaces for charging electric cars and for bicycles than usual, and spacious retail on the ground floor, as well as 80 kilowatts of solar panels on the roof. But the facade is really eye-catching. For one, it pops with red, orange, and yellow metal panels. The colours, it turns out, are designed not just to look cheerful and sunny, but to correspond metaphorically with changing illumination levels on the facade. Here's the architect Christoph Janssen, who created this structure in collaboration with Morley Construction Company and International Parking Design.
And you notice there's a variety of angles, and these angles were very carefully developed along daylight studies and daylight models that allowed us to determine in which way we want to redirect the light into the structure and against the ceiling of the parking garage.
And what is the point of that?
Well, the point of that is to, for one, to create a better atmosphere. Everybody knows parking garages where you have a more dingy and dark and dim-lit atmosphere. But it also will help to potentially reduce the artificial lighting component, thus reduce the energy consumption.
Then there's another dramatic feature, a continuous red stair descending from top to bottom of the building, a little like the external escalator at BCAM or the Pompidou Center. Back to the architect, Christoph Janssen.
We looked at the stair as a component that vertically extends the sidewalk. So the idea was that people will actually take this stair to move up and down to get to their cars, come from their cars, but hopefully also people will simply explore the stair to enjoy the views over the bay.
Now, on listening to this, you might be thinking what I was thinking, which is, this structure looks really great, and yes, it's lovely to stand at the top of the stairs and enjoy the views of the bay, but was it really necessary to create such an elaborate and probably more expensive design, or even build yet another parking structure here at all?
Yes, you probably could just go with a very traditional approach, building a parking garage. But I think it is in the interest of every community, every city, to enhance their public projects to the extent that they can or that they're allowed to do so. And cities today, they have a lot of challenges to contend with. Traffic, congestion, parking, and integrating that into a public environment is a real challenge. And I think this is a good example where the city of Santa Monica realized that it has to go beyond just the traditional means and methods to build a parking garage.
Now, all this sounds very good in theory, but as Christoph and I are talking, I've noticed that two people in running shorts and sneakers have run down the stairs and then back up again and then down again. I'm curious, and as one of the runners passes, I stop him. I'm so sorry to interrupt. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
I'm interviewing the architect about this parking structure, and
well,
I see...
This is the Santa Monica Steps 2.0. It's wonderful. It's the best parking structure in Santa Monica.
Okay, say that on mic.
Well, I'm sure that the architect thought about the fact that Santa Monica is the healthiest city in America for fitness, and so he designed it so it would be perfect for runners.
So this parking structure has only been open a week.
One year ago, I saw it, and I saw the steps and what they would be, and I thought the architect obviously wanted us to run it, so I made a pledge for the first 100 days to run up and down it every day. So the very first 3 hours it was open, I ran up and down it in 2 minutes, 30.1 seconds. I timed it from the bottom to the top, touching the white pole at the top, and then back down. And then she did it in a minute and 42, so now we're basically going and doing it. If we miss a day, we have to go and make it up, so we have to make up three right now.
Could you give me your name?
Sure, Alex Lightman.
And you're a resident or you work in Santa Monica?
I've lived there one block away for 20 years. So I lusted over this structure, running up and down it. I dreamed of it. I went car free 2 years ago, so I like to run and walk everywhere. Since I stopped driving my car, my walking and running have gone up many times, but my stairs, I don't know, it's just too far away to go to the steps and it just seems so trendy. But this is pure. This is urban mountaineering at its finest.
Is it pure when it's actually a parking structure?
It's not just a parking structure. It's a city parking structure, and Santa Monica wants us to be happy. This is exactly the sort of thing like the rings in Muscle Beach, the real Muscle Beach, not the fake one in Venice for the posers, but the one that has the rings and has the straps and all of the different pull-up bars. This is like that. This is an exercise in urban benevolence and beneficence.
And you're not on the City of Santa Monica payroll?
No. Why would I be?
Do you like the look of this parking structure?
I love it. It reminds me of kind of a bare-bones Centre Pompidou. It's the external bits, but it's like, you know, it's Pompidou on a budget with utility and function and none of the arrogance.
Who cares about the art?
Well, this is art. This is beautiful art, but this is art that only is meaningful if you run up and down these steps. Then you see its perfection. And I put on Facebook that if anybody runs it and can give me their time, then I buy them a cup of coffee.
Now, there's a challenge.
That's brilliant.
Well, you are the best promotion for this parking structure, I have to say.
Well, but understand, I'm not promoting it just as a parking structure. It's a smart city. And to me, it goes perfectly with Santa Monica's offer to people that you can come here on foot, or you can come here on bike, or you can come here in a car, and you can walk around. But the city is melting. It's melting all the obstacles to being a glorious pedestrian. And to me, I've lived in London for 2 years. One of the things I love about London is because you can walk everywhere, and it's kind of glorious, and this is the city. So when people say, how do I lose weight? Like my friend who gained 100 pounds, I say, move to Santa Monica, and you'll walk twice as much as you would in Orange County living by Fashion Island.
Do you mind sharing what occupation you're in? Do you have anything to do with urban design or planning?
I studied urban design and architecture at MIT, but I'm a civil engineer. And I wrote the first book on 4G. I won the Economist Innovation Award for the innovation most radically changed the world over the next 10 years. So I love innovation because innovation is what's necessary. Like if America were intelligent, if America had collective intelligence, it would look at this parking structure and it would demand that all the parking structures in America and the world be designed this way, and they explicitly would put into their municipal code that it is totally fine for people to run up and down the steps so that some yahoo in the future won't say, oh, well, we don't want people moving, we don't want people exercising. Here's one thing that I think cannot be repeated enough. This year, we got the information from Harvard and MIT that 1/3 of all healthcare costs are from burning fossil fuels. Fossil fuels are toxins and they're carcinogens. And so a subtly subversive parking lot that says, yes, you've driven your car here, but you could have walked up those steps and saved a little bit of your life, that would be amazing. And that's what I love about this.
Christoph, do you consider yourself subtly subversive?
Well, I think I'm a healthcare specialist.
by nature.
But do you feel this gentleman has perceived something about this parking structure that you did intend?
Well, I think the beauty is that it allows people to interpret and to use it in ways that they feel they would love to use it and accommodate their needs. So being used as a treadmill or being used as a stair exercise equipment is the best thing that could happen to the structure overall.
It's actually kind of a funny thing that if you visualize something, it comes true. But I was hoping I could meet the architect and say, thank you for making something that's so wonderful.
And it's so interesting. We in some of the team meetings, we actually talked about, more jokingly, that people probably will come and use it as exercise stairs.
Why was that a joke rather than the actual purpose of doing it? Because to me, that's its primary affordance as a designer, is that it allows you to choose to walk even as you're dumping your car.
Well, it's always that you underestimate the human nature in most part. And I think this is the best statement or the testament of what could happen if somebody just takes it on as something different than intended.
Now, what about the contention on the part of some people in Santa Monica, some residents, that really we shouldn't have built a parking structure at all, that we shouldn't be indulging the car yet further, we should be encouraging more walking, having a parking garage out at the edges that people shuttle in from? That was one of the scenarios that was posed.
That's idiotic, and I can tell you why. I live within three blocks of eight different six-story or above parking structures, and I gave up my car. So if there was any truth, any correlation between having parking structures and using a car, I would be driving my car instead of giving up my car.
But I suppose you made a decision that not everybody's making. A lot of people are faced with the choice of, I'm going to use my car. Am I going to park in a downtown parking structure, or am I going to be forced to park in a parking structure at the edge and get a shuttle?
If you look behind where we're talking, there are spots for charging your electric car that are open. Well, that's wonderful, because there aren't enough spots for electric cars. The city has planned for that. And also, let's just say lots of people take bicycles. Santa Monica is a very responsive city with an incredibly intelligent government about things like this. So all these spaces that are set up for cars that are open, if more people take bicycles, then this will become a bicycle structure. It's an open space. It's a public space, and it will be used according to how people want to use it. But you can't have a dictatorship where you're just declaring people can't drive their cars. But it's sort of like the if you build it, they will come. There's more space for bicycles here. What's good about this garage is it sets the bar for not just assuming brainlessly that all you have to think about is the car and forget about the people. This actually embraces and remembers that there are humans in those cars, and that those humans may prefer to walk than to being in a smelly elevator.
Cars are just a reality in our lives, and they need to be accommodated in a form that allows for them to exist without compromising other modes of transportation.
That was Christoph Janssen, architect of parking structure number 6 on 2nd Street in Santa Monica, built for the city by Morley Construction. Also, we heard from Alex Lightman, futurist and jogger. We reached out to the city of Santa Monica to ask how this structure compared cost-wise with others. The city architect Miriam Mulder told us that relative to other structures, there was somewhat of an increase. But she said, what we are trying to do is improve the pedestrian experience. This is more than a parking structure. Alex Lightman, by the way, has put out a challenge to the public to beat him at his running time. See the link on our website. You're listening to DNA, I'm Frances Anderton. And now to LA's downtown and a much-anticipated opening, Ace Hotel. The first Ace was created 15 years ago in Seattle by Alex Calderwood and friends. It was in a converted halfway house and was intended as an affordable hotel that would appeal to the creative class. Since then, it's become a chain with outposts in New York and Palm Springs, and springing up in the last few months, London, Panama, and this month, Los Angeles. So how does the company maintain the singularity and local flavor of each hotel now that it's a brand? And how has the company been affected by the passing of ACE founder Alex Calderwood, who was found dead last November in his London hotel? Mallory Roberts-Morgan went to find out. ACE is at 929 South Broadway in downtown. It's in a 13-story theatre and office building that was originally created in the 1920s by Mary Pickford and her breakaway friends for United Artists. And then, says Roman Alonso of the design team Commune,
for the last 30 years, it was basically the offices for Reverend Jean Scott's church. The mechanical infrastructure was really, really old and outdated. So the whole building was demoed out. All the interiors were demoed. And what remained was a concrete shell of a building. It was kind of brutalist, actually, in the end, because it was just literally long concrete, you know, floors with windows on both sides and nothing else. A bunker, basically. So slowly, everything had to be put back in. All mechanical, all electric, all plumbing, all interiors. Everything had to be recreated, or created, actually. But we say recreated because we wanted it to feel like it had always been here. So that's the trick, you know? It's like, how do you do something that feels like it's been here forever, when in fact, it wasn't? And without being precious about it, because it really was about it feeling like it had been here forever, not necessarily looking like it had been here forever. So there's a difference to that.
Commune was brought in by ACE following its success in designing ACE Palm Springs. As with that location, they've mixed past and present, and they've brought in local artists and designers, including Simon and Nikolai Haas, Alma Allen, Michael Schmidt, Tanya Ginniger, Kevin Willis, Adam Silverman, and the lighting company Atelier de Troupe. When Mallory went to visit on Sunday, she found the artists busy installing their pieces. The Haas brothers were drawing on the walls.
You'll see there's lots of sort of very realistic drawings of different actors like James Dean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, some musicians, Snoop Dogg is on there. And then there's some of these sort of weird humorous cartoons. I drew the cartoons and Simon drew the realistic stuff.
And costume and jewelry designer Michael Schmidt was busy with a custom lighting piece.
Well, this is a chandelier that is made from old logging chain and shipyard chain, various chains, rusted old, heavyweight, different weights of farming chains, that sort of thing, incorporating the original lamps that were used in the theater downstairs that was built by Mary Pickford and Charlie Chaplin in the 20s.
The goal, says Roman Alonso,
well, it's always important to make sure that what you're doing is inclusive and not exclusive, that anybody can feel comfortable in the space. And so we try to make things so that the style is one that you can't put your finger on, where you can't really recognize time periods or design periods or styles. I feel like that's what makes an environment comfortable, when someone just is walking into something that they somehow recognize, because they feel like they, like a familiarity, like something is familiar to them, but they can't put their finger on it. And it happens very, you know, organically and with your gut, including all these artisans and all these artists and the project. I mean, you're giving them parameters, but you're really letting them do what they do. And so you include them because you know that they're going to add a layer that will make it, you know, feel contemporary and will make it feel right for their generation. But they're doing it on top of something that may not be. And they need to do it with irreverence. So that's why, for example, the Haas brothers, the fact that they're drawing on all these walls, these are all plaster walls, by the way. They're not paint. It's not a paint finish. It's a plaster finish, which, you know, there's a cost attached to it. But they're drawing all over them. And that was always the idea, that, you know, these pristine plaster walls needed that layer on top. And that layer is what makes this place ACE. It's that irreverence for the plaster and the irreverence for being perfect. It should not be perfect.
While at ACE, Mallory Roberts Morgan met with its owners, Brad Wilson, the president, Kelly Sorden, brand director, and Ryan Buckstein, director of PR and marketing. She asked them how they went about creating a unique identity for a hotel that's become a chain, and what it means to have lost their founder.
For us, it's really about learning the places. We want to come in and really understand what's happening, who are kind of like the influencers in the culture, and get to know them. I think we really get to know them on a personal level as friends more than anything. And sometimes they give us ideas, they refer us to people, they do something with us. It's very fluid in how our projects come together, I think, but it comes from like a group of like-minded people wanting to put on an event which becomes a hotel. And it's a creative process, and every little piece is additive. And every person who joins the conversation brings in pieces that I think in the end creates an environment that reflects a lot of the good things about a city. So when you come here, I think you find it's like you see like what Commune's doing is a real collection of some of the movement in modern design in LA. And so it's not somebody trying to like do black and white photos of, you know, old movies. It's actually what is really current of an expression of LA with an understanding of the heritage of the old LA, not trying to like just be a recreation of.
And I think that we also have relationships with a lot of the brands that end up coming into the neighborhoods that we're in. And so they usually hear about our projects before we've officially announced them, just to see if they're interested in actually coming into the area. And we usually do enough research that we know what's available in the neighborhood and can kind of help, you know, get them going on the project really before it's been announced to the general public. So I think there's a large family and a large group of people that we stay connected with. And when we're going into new cities, they're usually privy to that information before we've made our official announcement.
And, you know, of course, you lost in a very untimely way your founder, Alex Calderwood, recently. So how are you going about filling that void?
Obviously, that's, you know, for us personally, because not only was he our founder, but he's also one of our best friends. So this is always a hard question on a just personal basis. But ACE as a company is really a collective of 40 creative minds building things. And yeah, I think we lost our conductor in a lot of ways, but the pieces play beautifully and they've been taught. So I think that it's an incredible personal and hard loss for all of us. I think it's really nice to see within the group how people have really brought themselves together and the volume of creative motion that we've had in spite of that. We have plans, obviously, on bringing in, you know, a few more creative people within the team and things of that sort. But he'll never be replaced in any way, shape, or form. But as a group, we all have pieces of him. And so I really say he gave us the base from which we stand, but we stand strong.
Yeah, I mean, I think ACE was his working art project. And I think that the team that we have here, and even just our partners, you know, whether it's Commune or some of the artists that we work with, or, you know, Roman and Williams, who we work with in New York, we all want to continue this. We all want to continue his vision and keep growing and adding and changing and moving forward. This is, you know, ACE being successful and continuing to evolve is a celebration of him and who he was.
And of course, you know, I'm just so thrilled that such an beautiful historic building is in such good hands. And tell me a little bit about your plans for the theater and the programming there.
We'll be doing live shows, concerts, probably movie premieres. We're looking at potentially doing some film nights with some local groups here, probably rent it out for private events, product launches, things like that. But for us, we see it as it's not just going to be about concerts and shows. It's really going to be about activating the theater on a lot of different levels and a lot of different mediums.
Yeah, and a few things that I would add is it's always been all about an artist-centric approach. And the history of this theater was started by the creatives. They broke away from the studio system, started their own thing, and opened up this theater. And, you know, we want to take that approach of looking at it as like an artist-run thing. And with that, doing special shows. Like, we want everything in there to feel really special. We're opening with a show in February with Spiritualized, playing a full one of their albums with an orchestra and a choir. You know, a very rare performance. They've only done it a few other times, only in Radio City in the U.S. And so it's like that type of thing that feels really special that we're going.
You know, I was mentioning that I'm a hotel brat, born and raised in hotels. I often say it was like being in a military family because we used to move around from place to place, and my father opened hotels and we lived in the hotels. And, you know, my father came from a tradition of the great hotel men who were creating these extraordinary establishments and catering to their clientele. And then in late 70s, let's say in the 80s, a very corporate culture moved into the hotel world. Yep. And people like my father were replaced with accountants. Cut to today, where the incredible success of a hotel brand chain like Ace has these big corporations scrambling to try and get some of the magic. And I think it's just very interesting, the full circle that we've come.
Yeah, it is interesting, because if you really go back to the times of Mary Pickford and when this building were built, hotels at that time, they were the center of society in a lot of ways. The grand hotels like the Plaza in New York, and these hotels, they were built as very unique, big statements of design. And there was a process where I think reliability and brand recognition, Holiday Inn on every highway kind of thing, came more important than the uniqueness and the overall experience of the hotels. And I think in some ways, yeah, maybe we have values more similar to that old heritage hotel ideal of creating these environments for the guest and focusing on the guest really much more than focusing on, like, you know, recognizable standard kind of thing. We like uniqueness, so we want to always be evolving and doing new things.
I think we also love going into these cities and, like, immersing ourselves. And, you know, we were living in London for a year and a half and, you know, really getting to know the neighborhood and the people and what's happening there and what's interesting. And, you know, similar to living in LA, and we lived there before we moved to London. And I think our team loves to get on the ground and really spend time connecting with people that are doing interesting stuff. And I think from a hotel perspective, we want all of our hotels to feel different and unique, because we actually want to go travel and stay in those cities and have it feel like it is that city. So I think for us, it's the creative curiosity that our team has and trying to find unique things in all these cities, because we're so used to mass consumerism and you know, mass production of things these days, that it's trying to find the really special stuff is a lot more difficult, and the team loves to do that, and so I think you feel that in our hotels.
That was Kelly Sorden, Brad Wilson, and Ryan Buckstein talking to Mallory Roberts-Morgan at the new Ace Hotel at 929 South Broadway in downtown, and now open to guests. An official opening takes place on the 15th, and we will do more coverage on the LA designers who've shaped the interior. That's it for this week's DNA. Thanks to Ray Guana, Caroline Chamberlain, and Jason Groman. Like us on Facebook at KCRW's Design and Architecture. Thank you very much for listening, and join me soon for more DNA.
I told my mother I was going to be a famous architect.
Design's a really loaded word.
Designing and building.
Postmodern stuff.
DNA.
Design.